left off last week on Daftalad Amid Beis. We were in the medium with lines, and I believe we were up to the Masa Marbre de Ravina. It's seven lines down for where they get medium with. So the Gemara in the previous section had presented a machlokes from Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan as to what the proper order of Kriya Shema and Tefillah is. And Rabbi Yochanan described the practice that we do, which is we daven Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, we daven Tefillah. We say Kriya Shema Shel Arbis, and we daven Tefillah Arbis. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, however, says Tefillah Pe'emsa Tiknum. And I realized, I forget which one of the Rishonim commented during the week. I noticed there was one additional detail. I always assumed, I described it, I think, last time as a chiasmus, A-B-B-A, Kriyashma, Tvila, Tvila, Kriyashma. But from one of the Rishonim, it's clear, actually, that it's actually Kriyashma, Tvila, 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 Kriyashma, because someone throws in Tvila, Smilchas in the middle there as well. It doesn't really change Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position, but nonetheless, so that was the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. In the previous section of the Gemara had described how the Machlokas is based upon either a Pasuk, based upon a Svara. So now the Gemara asks the following question. Masid Marbere de Ravina. Marbere de Ravina asks the question from the Mishnah later. Va'erev mevarech shtayim lefanayo shtayim lachareh. So in the morning, when we daven, so first we have the bracha of Yotzer Or, then we have the bracha of Ava Rabba. Then after Kriya Shema, we have the bracha of Emes V'Yatziv. And the end of Emes V'Yatziv is Baruch Ata Hashem, Go'al Yisrael. That's Ge'ula. And then we immediately begin Shmon Esrei. But at night, at Ma'ariv, even for those of us who don't say Baruch Hashem, L'olam Amen V'Amen, and we're going to talk about that at some length. So first you have Hamarev HaRavim. Then you have Ohev Amo Yisrael. Then you have Kriya Shema. Then you have Emes V'Emunah, which ends with Go'al Yisrael. And then you have Hashkiveni, you have another bracha in between. So even if, no matter what you believe in principle, Hashkiveni interrupts between Goal Yisrael and Tefillah. And that has to be, by the way, also, we have a Kaddish, which is interesting in its own right. I don't know if it never occurred to me to ask the question, but I noticed in preparing the Rishonim who deal with the question, why do we say Kaddish between the Brachas Kriya Shema and Marit and the Amida, right? In the morning, we don't say Kaddish between Gaal Yisrael and Shemon Esrei, right? We go directly from one to the other. By Mincha, we don't have Kriya Shema before. So really, Kriya Shema Mincha is the beginning of Tefillah. If you want to think of an analog, I know that many shuls begin davening with the Berachas HaShachar. So KJ doesn't begin davening Berachas HaShachar. KJ begins with Rabbi Yishmael, for whatever the reasons are. But if you look in the Rambam, in the Rambam's description of Tefillah, Tefillah actually begins with Barthu. It begins with Kaddish and Barthu. The Rambam said Psukei Dezimra, but Psukei Dezimra is standard practice for us, but in theory, it's kind of a Midas Chasidus. So we have Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach as Brachos, but the bottom line is Tefillah really begins with Kaddish and Barthu. So by Mincha, we say Ashrei before, but fundamentally Kaddish begins Tefillah. But at Mariv, so forget we don't say a Kaddish before, but why do we say a Kaddish between Hashkivenu and Shemon Esrei if we don't do that in the morning? So we'll talk about that. But in the meantime, the Gemara's question, Marv Ravina's question is very simple. You, Rabbi Yochanan, say that you're supposed to be so mekula l'tvila. But that's not possible because if you have to say, if the Mishnah says that you recite two brachos after Kriya Shema night, Shtayim lefaneha, and Shtayim lachareha, so then the Gemara says, the Iamris boi lismo, if you're telling me that you have to have smichas geula l'tvila, Gaal Yisrael, ha-lo kosamach geula l'tvila, there isn't smichas geula l'tvila because you have a bracha of Hashkivenu, Shomer Mo Yisrael La'ad, which interrupts in between. That was the question. So the Gemara gives the following answer. Amrei, kevan detakino rabbanon Hashkivenu, ki geula arichta damya. Mm-hmm. Once the Rabbanon institute Hashkivenu, that's somehow a Geula Arichta. It's an extension of the Geula. The question is why? What does that have to do with anything? So some of the Rishonim say that the Hashkivenu itself contains a theme of Geula. Because what was the original Geula? Anybody? What's the first geula? Get people off the, should unmute themselves if you can, if you don't have background noise. So what was the first geula in Jewish history?
Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim.
Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. So what happened, Leo Mitzrayim, that the Jews needed protection from? Well, the God or the Malach Hamabes went through Egypt and killing. So Hashkivenu, if you look what Hashkivenu is about, it's asking God to protect us at night. Vaser Satan v'panenu v'acharenu, you know, and v'agen alenu v'avras chastecha. So basically what we're praying for is protection at night. We're praying for what exactly the Jews needed, Leo Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. So maybe that's why, thematically speaking, Hashkivenu can be considered a form of Geula, and hence it doesn't really mark an interruption between Geula and Tfila and night. So Rabbi Yochanan can say that there is such a thing, there's such a Maila, that one should be Someh Geula L'Tfila. We still have to talk about the question of what the Rishonim call Yirei Neinu, Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen. And then you have to ask the question also, what happens with the Kaddish that interrupts between Kriya Shema, between Berchas Kriya Shema, Gal Yisrael, and our beginning tefillah. So now the Gemara says that must be the case. The Hashkivenu, of course Hashkivenu, is an extension, of course there's an idea of extending these two parts of Gutlan tefillah. De ilo temahachi, shachris, hechi matzi samuch. In the morning, when we daven, when you say Gal Yisrael, what's the next thing you say after Gal Yisrael? What appears in the Siddur?
Hashem Sfasai Tiftach.
Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. That's not part of Tefillah. I mean, we say it before Tefillah, but it doesn't. In other words, Tefillah begins. Tefillah is 18, or for us, 19 brachos. It starts with Baruch Atah Hashem. So the Gemara said, Ti'ilo Taimehachi, Shachar Sechi Matzi Samach. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, the very same Rabbi Yochanan who's talking about Smicha School of Tefillah, says, B'tchila Omer Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, U'lebesofu Omer Yula Ratzonim Reifi. So Rabbi Yochanan says that you precede your tefillah with Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, asking God to, in effect, open up our mouths to make our tefillahs flow. And then when we're done, we say Yula Ratzonim Reifi, that the words that we've just uttered should be appeasement to God. So if you have to say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, what happened to Smicha School of Tefillah? Ela hasam kevan de takina rabana lememar Hashem Sfasai Tiftach kitzvila arich ladamya. Since the Chachamim instituted that you should say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, that's considered an extension of tefila. Hachanami kevan de takina rabana lememar Hashkivenu kigeula arich ladamya. So the same thing is true about Hashkivenu. Now I mentioned to you before an explanation that one of the Rishonim offered. I know if it was Tamid Ben Yona, about why Hashkivenu is considered a gula arichta. The truth is, the simple reading of the Gemara is not that way. The simple reading of the Gemara is that simply because the Chachamim instituted it as an appendix to Geula, or because the Chachamim appended it as a preface to Tefillah, it is ki Geula arichta damya or ki Tefillah damya. It doesn't sound from the Gemara as if there is necessarily something inherent in the theme of Hashkivenu or of Hashem Sfasai Tiftach that should really be considered, that really that is Geula and that is Tefillah. But rather, it's just in principle, we want Geula to be as close to Tefillah as possible, and they should be next to one another. And if the Chachamim stuck on an appendage on one or the other, that doesn't somehow interfere with Smichas Geula L'Tefillah. Okay, so that's where the Gemara leaves things for the moment. The Gemara has a machlokas, Rabbi Shua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. And under ordinary circumstances, we would postulate like Rabbi Shimon Levi against Rabbi Yochanan. But in this case, because the Braisa supports Rabbi Yochanan, therefore the Rishonim will assume that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that one is supposed to be Someh Geula Tefila at Marv as well, which means that the proper order at night is to first say Kriya Shema and then to daven. Okay. Now, I mentioned last week when we were finishing up that there is another element or another piece to this, which is that the Gemara explains the Braisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan as saying that Tfilas Arvis is Chova. Right? There is a Machlokas later, Machlokas Atanayim in the fourth parak, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel, whether Davening Marav is strictly speaking obligatory or Me'ikar HaDin, it is really only Rishus. The Minhag Yisrael is to treat it as a chova, but nonetheless, there might be circumstances where because Marav is Rishus, we might adopt a different stance with regards to certain things. So the Braisa had us, the Gemara wanted to know, why did the Braisa speak in such hyperbolic language about Kala Ovrer Dibre Chachamim Chai Misa? If you violate this rabbinic idea, you don't come home and daven and say Kriya Shema first, but rather, you know, you end up missing it because you eat a little, you drink a little, you sleep a little, you chai misa. So the Gemara said that this Braisa assumes that Tfilas Arvis is Chova. The Gemara also says that the Braisa that says Kori Kriya Shema Mispalo in that sequence is it supports Rabbi Yochanan's position. It's Sayyid Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the Rishonim are going to discuss this, but from a conceptual perspective, the two positions are not necessarily linked together. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have to hold that Tfilas Arvis is Chova. Just because the Braisa supports his position about the order of Kriya Shema Tfilah doesn't in any way tell you what that doesn't inherently necessitate adopting the position Kriya Shema, that Tfilas Arvis is Chova. But the Braisa certainly holds Tfilas Arvis is Chova. That's what the Gemara says. And the Braisa also happens to support Rabbi Yochanan on the question of the order of Kriya Shema and Tfilah. And it's with that that the Rishonim come to grapple with this issue, because the practice was certainly common in Ashkenaz, and it was common in Sephardic lands as well, that they would recite a Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen Amen after Shomer Mo Yisrael La'ad, and they would conclude with Yireinenu and Baruch Hashem Melech Bechodo Tamid Melech Aleinu that L'Olam Vayev Al-Kol Ma'asav. Okay, I'm amazed I still remember that bracha, because I don't think I've actually said it in 30 years. But so that's what the Rishonim want to know. What's going on with Yireinenu? If we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, then what's going on with Yireinenu, and what's going on with the Kaddish as well? Now, here's the question I'll ask you. Maybe some of you might have a guess. There seem to be actually two different opinions, but what is the origin of Yireinenu? It's not mentioned in the Gemara. It's not mentioned in the Gemara at all. The only hint of anything in it, although I took a quick look yesterday, and I couldn't quite figure out how they're counting. They say there are supposed to be 18 Azkaros, 18 Shemos Hashem in Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen Amen. I don't count 18. Although there is one section, some of you remember Baruch Hashem B'Shochreinu Baruch Hashem Kameinu, something like that. Is there such a phrase like four very quick Baruchs with Shem Hashem? Somebody's got to help me here because I don't say it. Aaron doesn't say it anymore either. He lives in Israel. Nobody says it. The practice today is in Eretz Yisrael, it's not said at all. That's already mentioned, I think, in the Rishonim, that they don't say it. I think I saw in the Rishonim. That's not said in Eretz Yisrael, and in and some shuls in this country in Chutz La'aretz don't say it Motzei Shabbos, and that might not be hard to figure out why either. We'll talk about if you remember, we'll talk about it when we go to the Rishonim, and then there are some shuls that don't say it. My shul, the only shul I've ever been in that doesn't say it at all, is the shul that I happen to daven in. It's not my I'm very happy about that, but it's not my I'm not the more the Asra. I didn't institute this practice. My theory is that it happened that the shul was, you know, one of the first shuls that was founded by people like who all had the first generation of people learned in Israel for Shana Ba'aretz or more, and they came back not saying it, so they decided not to say it there. I'm not sure, it doesn't fit perfectly, but they don't. And then there are, of course, individuals from time immemorial who haven't said it. The Ramban didn't say it, the Rashbam didn't say it, a lot of Gedolei Yisrael didn't say it. But the question is, why do we say Yireinenu? Where did it come from? If it's not one of Birchos Kriya Shema, it's clearly not. The Mishnah says two brachos after Kriya Shema. That would be the third bracha. So why would we even say this? Any thoughts? No opinion.
Is it thematically a contraction of Shmona Esrei? In other words, is it a summary of some bigger prayer? Because I remember something about in the olden days, they were worried about people traipsing around in the fields after dark. And if you were walking home from shul, it might be a sakana. So it may be the thematic of this paragraph, this prayer is a substitute for Shmona Esrei, and maybe you get done faster with Maariv if you do say this instead of Shmona Esrei.
Okay, so you have basically gotten one of the opinions, although mixed in a different issue. The only tefillah that I know that kind of encapsulates the themes of Shmona Esrei is Tfilas Havineinu, which is a short, you know, when the Mishnah is going to talk about what you're supposed to say on a regular basis. One opinion says all 18 brachos, another opinion says you say Havineinu, which is at the first three brachos, the last three brachos, and the middle bracha literally has a phrase from each bracha of Shmona Esrei, or a phrase with the theme of each bracha of the middle 12 or 13 brachas of Shmoneh Esrei, right? But the other part of it represents one opinion in the Rishonim. The assumption was that things were, time was getting late, and so instead of davening tefillah in shul, they would say Birchas Kriya Shema in Kriya Shema, and then they would say this very abridged tefillah, which I don't know that, again, maybe it does, but I don't think so. It doesn't capture the themes, but it has Yud Ches Azkaros, 18 times we mentioned God's name, Kineged, corresponding to the Yud Ches Brachos. That is one opinion, but that opinion, Lenny assumes, that in fact, they did not daven actual tefillah after they said Yirinenu. They went home, and only at home would they actually daven. And that, by the way, would explain much more easily why they said the Kaddish. They said the Kaddish because it marked the end of tefillah. That's what a number of Rishonim say. So that's one approach to understanding. Both approaches, by the way, have something to do with what I call quasi-danger. That approach, though, that you're describing will not explain why some congregations don't recite it Motzei Shabbos. Because Motzei Shabbos is just as bad. In fact, it's maybe worse because Motzei Shabbos people tend to start a little later because they want to wait to daven until Shabbos is out. So, but in general, it would explain the practice well, that if you wanted to shorten davening, so maybe their Shmoneh Esrei took a lot longer than ours. You know, ours is 5 minutes, but I never know. Never know what the difference of 5 minutes. Yirinenu takes a minute and a half. But maybe they had longer Shmoneh Esrei. So that is one approach. I think the Ritva and Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, and I think the Rashba all mentioned that they basically they didn't daven Shmoneh Esrei or the Amida. They didn't daven that at all in the Beis Knesset, which was in the field, and it was dangerous to walk home. They recited a very quick bridged something. I don't call it a bridge. They recited this paragraph and went home and they davened at home. That's approach number one. There's a second approach, which we might as well take a look at Tosfos now, because Tosfos is the one who presents the other approach. Tosfos, the big
Rabbi,
yes.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Yaakov Emden Sidur, and he says, they Tosfos bracha mitakenet hagaonim letzorach shah. And he goes on that it has 225 words, and it's against Midas Hadin and so forth. He goes on for a paragraph. And very often, when I'm not sure where davening comes from, I look at Rabbi Yaakov Emden Sidur and he gives me some sort of background.
Right. So,
he goes on for a whole paragraph that it was Tzorach Shah.
Right. But it's lasted a very long time for many people. But it's clear that it's clear it's not in the Gemara. It's clear that all of the Rishonim, even those who don't recite it, know that the practice is common. So by process of elimination, we know it occurs, it is instituted at some point during the Gaonic period. But he doesn't explain why there, right? He just says, let's Zoref Shah. So some Rishonim, as Lenny said, believe that it's because it would get too late to walk home, and therefore they recited this quick paragraph and daven their Amid at home. But Tosus presents a slightly different approach, similar but slightly different. And it might at least explain the Ma'ariv piece on Motzei Shabbos. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezehu ben Ha'olam Haba. And I would add, by the way, there is one other odd thing that we do in one Ma'ariv of the week, which makes no sense, that doesn't fit with any of the other Ma'arivs, which may be the exact same thing. You know what that? Anybody know what that is? We have a Chazaras HaShatz for only one Ma'ariv. What is that?
Habol Shabbos.
Friday night, right? Friday night, we essentially recite a quasi kind of, not exactly, but we have, it looks like Birchas Avos, right after Vayichulu, and we finish, we have Mekadesh HaShabbos, so we have not the full thing, and I think all the things are captured in the paragraph Magen Avos, right? Magen Avos probably, Magen Avos B'Rao Mechayim Yisim Arao HaKela Kadosh, right? Those are the first three brachas. And then we talk about Shabbos, and then we get to the end, Kela Odos, now I'm mixing together. How does it go?
Kela, yes.
I know, I'm just trying to remember what comes after Kelados. Hadonah Shalom, right? So you have Hodah, you have Sim Shalom there. So all the brachos are captured in this kind of Chazar Sashat. So why did we recite that on, why did we recite it on Friday night? So Tosfos says the following. Tosfos says, V'anu she'omim, this is the big Tosfos on Daal Amud Beis, Dibar Maslo Dam Rabbi Yochanan Eizu Ben Halaba. V'anu she'omrim yiru einenu, which is the closing paragraph, u'psukim acherim achar hashkivenu. Why do we say it if you need smichas kul tefillah? Nire homo v'takinu hu l'rabbonon, havale ki ge'ula arichta. So the truth is that reading fits very nicely with the Gemara. If the Rabbanan, whoever they are, he doesn't say instituted it, if the Chachamim are mistaken it, then it's not a considered a hefsek. It's not an interruption. It's just an extension. Not necessarily because the theme of the bracha is, but simply because the Chachamim attached it as an extension. In other words, Ma'ariv really ends. The Birchos Kriya Shema ends at Gal Yisrael, but the Chachmei HaMishnah is stuck on Hashkiveinu, and the Gaonim stuck on Yireinu, but it's all really considered Geula Richta. Now, why? Did Takinu Lomar Zeh, Shebetok Kach Yispalo Chaveru Gamhu, Velo Yelich Mi Beis HaKnesses, Achi Yigmar Kol Echad Tfilotha. So here, it's not that they were, according to Tosfos, it's not that they weren't davening Shemona Esrei after Yireinu. It's that a person might have come late to davening, Chas V'Shalom. I don't believe any such thing happens. It might be Lashon Hara on Motzi Laz Al Yisrael. But nonetheless, it happened once, twice, and they were afraid. So they instituted Yireinu so that if you came late, you wouldn't say Yireinu. You would get to Shomer Amar Yisrael La'ad, which was truly mandatory. The Tzibur would still be saying Baruch Hashem Amen. So you could start your tefillah with them, you could finish your tefillah with them, and nobody would be left alone davening in the Beis HaKnesses after everybody left. The Gemara somewhere later in the Masechta, I think later in this parak, speaks harshly about a person who leaves when his friend is still davening. Now, I saw that in Muncie, some people would be very machbid about that, that this one guy left davening along Shimon Esrei, so he wouldn't leave, because you're not allowed to the Gemara. I'm not sure that it applies today, certainly not when there's security guards out front. It applied when you people daven in the Sados, and it was dangerous to have one person standing alone. But that idea is what caused the Chachamim to create this takana, that they would basically put in the delay mechanism. But fundamentally speaking, they would be davening tefillah immediately after Yireinu. Now, the truth is, according to the first opinion, the one that Lenny suggested, the one that numerous Rishonim suggest, so it's not really hard to understand why Yireinu was not a problem in terms of Hesek Ben Gula L'Tefillah. Why is that? It's kind of a trick question.
What is this?
Go ahead, Marshall, you say something?
Nope, not yet.
Once the Chachamim decided that we couldn't daven in the fields, you're going to say Kriya Shema there together, but you're going to have to go home to daven, and they're just going to say Yireinu, so there really is no smicha tzula l'tfila anyway. And if you want to say, at best you could say Yireinu is the tfila. So, but let's say you say Yireinu is not tfila, and you have to daven at home. So, Mamar Shach, you're not going to have smicha tzula l'tfila anyway, because in the sakana, it's something that we just have to be mevater. We have to just overlook or waive, because people can't daven there. So once you can't have smicha tzula l'tfila anyway, it doesn't really matter that you're saying, you know, that you're saying Yireinu. What difference does it make? It's better than that than just schmoozing on the way home. Now, according to Tosis, however, if Yireinu is really Kigula Richta Danya and they daven Tfila right afterwards, so then that's a totally different ballgame. So now Tosis is going to talk about this a little further in a moment. He adds, Vigam Yesh Ba'osam Psukim Yurches Azkaros Keneged Yurches Brachos Deshmona Esra. The agav she tiknu lomar osam sukim tiknu lomar chasima she yiru einet shel yireinu. So Tosa says the ikar is the 18 askaros in Baruch Hashem olam amen v'amen. Again, go figure them out. I'm not 100% sure. I have an idea. I don't know if you only count your kevav case, if you count any shein that has kedusha, whatever it is. He says there are 18 of them, and once they had the 18 sukim, they decided let's tack on a bracha as well. Okay. So now Tosos, having at least explained sort of the minhag and justified the minhag, Tosos says the following: V'halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan, the b'raisa misayelay, v'chein pasach halachos gedolos. So once Tosos has fixed Rabbi Yochanan, fixed our practice, and made it align with the idea that you still need tzmichas gula l'tfila, so now Tosos says, and we pasach like Rabbi Yochanan because the b'raisa supports Rabbi Yochanan, and so did the halachos gedolos. Okay. Those who says the outcome is the imkain yeshli zoher shelo v'saper ben gula the arvis l'shmona esrei. So you have to be careful then. Even though we interrupt with Yireinu, you're still not allowed to have conversation. Let's say you finish early, you finish before the chazan finishes, or so you're going to start to have a conversation. The Tosa says no. We have some, we paskin. You require smichas gula tefillah at night. You're not allowed to interrupt with anything that's truly extraneous. Yira Einenu is an extension of Geula. So says, that's Tosis's opinion. But now he says, Umihu, Beseda Rav Amram, and we have that I know of two famous Siddur works from the Gaonim. One is the Siddur of Rav Sadia Gaon, which has been published. I don't know if it's from Geniza fragments and things like that. And the other is and quotations from Rishonim and the Seder of Rav Amram Gaon. So in the Seder of Amram Gaon, Tosa says, Piresh, Masha Anu Omrim Kaddish, Bein Gula L'Tfilas Arvis. Why do we interrupt between Gaon Yisrael and Shmona Esrei with a Kaddish? So Rav Amram says, La'ashma'inan, the lo be'inan mismach gula the arvis l'tfila mishum the tfilas arvis rishus. No, it's to show us we dafka interrupt between kriyashma, between gula and tfila, because we want to show that smichas gula tfila is not required at night. Why? Because we paskin tfilas arvis is rishus. It would appear, and I think this is the only citation we have, is that Rav Amram Gaon's position was that Rav Yochanan's Smichas Gula Tfilah somehow was tied up in the fact that Tfilas Arvis is Chova. Now, I pointed out at the beginning of Shir, and other Rishonim already note this, that in the Gemara itself, there is nothing that compels you to tie these two positions together, at least textually speaking. In other words, the Braisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan happens to hold that Tfilas Arvis is Chova, it's true, but Rabbi Yochanan's position itself is not derived from the fact that the Braisa holds Tfilas Arvis is Chova, but it's derived from the fact that the Braisa just says, V'achar kach kori kriyashma umispalo. They present the order of kriyashma and tefillah. So I suggested earlier that they're not habahatayim, but it may be that Rav Amram Gaon believes the following. To say that you're obligated to be so mekula tefillah implies that geula is obligatory and tefillah is obligatory. But if you're going to argue that tefillah's arvis itself is not obligatory, how can it possibly be obligatory to be so mekula tefillah? That, I presume, is what is driving Rav Amram. It's not based upon the textual aspect of the Braisa. You don't need to see the Braisa for that. Then it only makes sense that Smichas Gula Tfilah is mandatory at night if, in fact, Tfilah is mandatory and Geula is mandatory. But Geula is mandatory. That's clear. Okay. Interestingly enough, haven't seen any of the Rishonim discuss this. Is there an opinion that Geula is not mandatory at night? There's a famous opinion that ostensibly, I'm not sure, really, I don't know what they do with the bracha. How many parshas of Kriya Shema do we recite, have to recite at night? Anybody?
I think one.
No, not one at night.
Two.
That's one opinion. How do you know this is an opinion? Pesach's coming up. It's not clear why it's in the Haggadah, but Amar Ablazer ben Azariah, Arei Ani Keben Shivim Shana Velo Zachisi Shetei Omer Yetzias Ritzayim Balelos Ad Sheba Ben Zoma Udrasha Shenemar L'man Tiskar Seom Seis Chamei Eretz Ritzayim Kol Yimei Chayecha Hayamim Kol Yimei Chayecha Halelos. You're going to recite that in the Haggadah. That is not about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim Pesach night. That's about Zachiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Chachamim disagree with Ben Zoma, and they believe there's no obligation of reading a third parsha of Kriya Shema at night. In fact, the Gemara later in our parak is going to say, in Eretz Yisrael, what they did after they finished Laman Yubi Mechem is they would say, Vayidaber Vayomer Hashem Moshe Limor, Daber Al Bnei Yisrael Mata Alehem, Ani Hashem Alekechem. It's a different pasuk, but it's the beginning of the third parsha of Shema and the end, but taken from a totally different place. I mean, there's no obligation whatsoever of Zechiyah Sitziyah Tefayim Balelos. Now, I still assume that the Chachamim held, and how do we paskin, by the way? So I think that the Rambam paskins that there's a mitzvah of it's Zichir, Sitzir, Sitzvah, and Balelos. But I think the Rush and the Rif do not hold that way. So the bottom line is, I don't know, I presume the Chachamim also had Ga'al Yisrael, but it's kind of remarkable that at least within Kriya Shema, the parsha that's about Geula, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Tzesi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, according to the majority opinion of the Mishnah, and maybe the majority opinion of Rishonim, is not technically obligatory at night. Okay. But nonetheless, let's assume that Geula is obligatory. The Mishnah says, and nobody explicitly argues, that you need two brachos afterwards, which includes Ga'al Yisrael. But if Tfila is only optional, it's only Rishos, how can you say that you have to be Somech Geula to Tfila? So that's what he quotes Seder Rav Amram. But Tosfos says, "V'lo nehira." I don't think this makes sense. Tosfos says, "Why?" The in Kain, Rabbi Yochanan Svirelei Tfilas Arvis Chova. The Plukta he the Rav Rabbi Yochanan Valachik Rabbi Yochanan. So Tosfos, if you look in the Gemara later for a second, those of you who have the Gemara, take a look in, on Daf Chaf Zion Amud Beis, I think it is. Hold on, where is it? Yes, if you take a look at Chaf Zion Amud Beis for a moment, and on Chaf Zion Amud Beis, go to the middle lines. So before the in the medium width lines, before they get really wide, go up about five lines. Amar Abaye are the last three words on the line. Okay, again, Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, five lines before they get super wide. Amar Abaye, Halacha Kedivrei HaOmer Chova. What's the next word? Next phrase, anybody?
The Rava.
The Rava Amar, Halacha Kedivrei HaOmer Rishus. So, if it's a Machlokas Abaye in Rava, if it's a Machlokas Abaye and Rava, so who do we paskin like?
Rava.
Rava. It's a pretty good rule, except for six places in Shas, with the known with the acronym Ya'al Kigam. And whatever those six things are, those who might have begun learning their Gemara learning experience in Cheder or Cheder-like school where they learned Eilu Metzias. So you learned the first one, the Yud stands for Yeyosh Shalom Midas, whatever that means in the laws of lost objects. So we're going to paskin like Rava. We're going to paskin like Rava. Okay. So that is the girsa that we have in our Gemara. However, Tosfos apparently, and you can see this from the last Dibur Maskil in Tosfos on Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, who may not be in agreement with our Tosfos, but Tosfos says, has the girsa of a Hilchasa Kavase Dirav. It's actually part of the previous Tosfos. And it would appear that Tosfos had a girsa that not Rava says, Halacha Kedavayam Rishos, but Rav. Now, if you have Rava and Abaye arguing about it, if you had Rava and Rabbi Yochanan arguing, we're going to pass it like Rava for a very simple reason. The rule is, Hilchasa Kibasrai. I know this sounds counter to sort of traditional yeshivish way of thinking or talking, of Yeridas Adoros, of generations descending, but the assumption halacha is Hilchasa Kibasrai. You always pass it like the latter authorities, the contemporaneous authorities. That seems to be a rule that's generally held up. The assumption is that the later authorities had all the information in front of them, and given in their particular, and with all that information, they reach a certain decision. It's a very interesting, one of my favorite, whenever I teach halacha to students, so I talk about the difference between at least the classic Sephardi style of psak. I don't know how true it is anymore, but certainly with the classic way approach of Rav Yosef Kaur, the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, and the approach of the Ramah. So the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Kaur, in his introduction to his magnum opus, the Beis Yosef, which is the Shulchan Aruch of the crib notes for the Beis Yosef. But in the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef tells you in his introduction that as a general rule, when he paskins halacha, he's going to follow a majority of the big three. Who are the big three? The Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush, which of course makes it ridiculous from an Ashkenazi perspective because the Rambam and the Rif almost never disagree. So you've stacked the deck against Ashkenazi practice. Okay, but that's the Mechaber's approach. It's an approach that really gives much greater weight to earlier authorities and much less weight to Minhag and more recent authorities. The Ramah, in his introduction to his parallel sefer, both the Beis Yosef of Rav Yosef Kaur and the Darkei Moshe of the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, were commentaries written on the Torah, the Arba Turim, the Rashi's son's major halachic compendium. The Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, in his introduction to the Darkei Moshe, says the following. When he first started out paskening, he wanted to adopt sort of a Beis Yosef-like approach, not putting weight on the Rambam and the Rif, who was Svardi, but on Balei HaTosfos, giving weight to the earlier authorities. And basically, in my language, the Ramah says his colleagues hit him over the head and said, that's not the way we pasken halacha. We follow all the latter-day authorities. Authorities who in the classic sense we regard as being lighter weights, you know, like the Maharil and the Ma'arivayil in the very late Ashkenazi Rishonim, the Shari Dura, and things of that nature. And the Ramah eventually came around and said, that's the way we pass it. So as a Lamdan, when you study the Ramah, it's maddening, right? You get to Hilchos Pesach, by the way, all, I'm sorry, I don't mean this to blame, although I was having this discussion with my wife as well this morning or last night, complaining that the reason why Pesach is crazy is because it's much worse for Ashkenazim. Because Sfardim, Paskin, the Halacha, and that was it. But Ashkenazim, the Ramah wanted to know how you Paskin. He went into the kitchen, he asked his wife and said, how do we do things? And she said, this is the way we do things. So it didn't really matter that according to Dina the Gemara and according to the early Rishonim and according to really any of the Rishonim, I'm exaggerating a little, those things aren't required. Nonetheless, that sort of minhag became a very, very dominant dominant theme in Ashkenaz. And so the Ramah's approach, though, in certain ways, I don't want to say is more classical than the Mechaber's. Again, someone who sits in the base medrash really likes the Mechaber's approach much better. It's much purer. It's much solider. It's much more grounded. Like, there are rules of how to decide who's right, who's wrong. There are proofs. There are logical proofs from text. For the Ramah, you can have all the texts in the world. It doesn't help you because the minhag has become X. Whatever the reason is, the minhag has become X. And it's been codified, so that becomes binding. Okay. So the rule, the Gemara certainly has an idea that Hilchos HaKvasra, you follow the Latter-day authorities. So if it's a Machlokas Rava, who's a fourth generation Amora and Bavel, and Rabbi Yochanan earlier had a different position, meaning if Rabbi Yochanan said that Tilas Arvis is obligatory, and Rava said that Tilas Arvis is Rishas, it's clear we're going to pass like Rava, Hilchos HaKvasra. That's, of course, assuming Rabbi Yochanan holds Tilas Arvis is Chova. So Tosus here does seem to come to the position, at least at this stage, that even if you wanted to argue that Tfilas Arvis is Chova for Rav Yochanan, the way Rav Amram seems to be understanding, and Rav Amram therefore is rejecting it, we're going to have to pass like Rav Yochanan. I mean, Tfilas Arvis is going to become Chova. So Tosus kind of stops the discussion and pivots and says the following. V'nachon, even though Rav Amram says Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, and therefore you don't need Smicha Skula V'Tfilah. It's appropriate to refrain from any conversation between Gal Yisrael or Yireinenu and beginning tefillah. The itema, but kasha hilchasa. The kaim alah, and as Tosus himself will say later, tefillas arvis is rishus, but v'hacha paskin and Rabbi Yochanan. So Tosus says, how can it be? If you're going to pass the Rabbi Yochanan here, how can you pass the tefillas arvis rishus later? So he says, Tzarech lomar dav filu isov Rabbi Yochanan kirat, the amar rishusi, mikom makom mechayiv lismoch. In Cain, gam lono yesh lismoch. So Tosus doesn't really flesh this out. But he's suggesting that perhaps in Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rab, doesn't disagree, because Rabbi Yochanan himself, as I explained at the beginning of Shir, doesn't say, his position here, at least textually speaking, doesn't necessarily depend upon Tfilas Arvis Rishus, Tfilas Arvis Chova. So maybe Rabbi Yochanan Paskins like Rav. So you still do have to explain. I thought I gave such a good reason why, if you say Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, there can't be, you don't have Smicha School of Tfilah. If Tfilah is not obligatory, how can Smicha School of Tfilah be obligatory? So the answer may be that, yeah, Tfilas Arvis may actually be Rishus. And it's true, if you don't want to daven, at least based upon Dina de Gemara, you wouldn't have to daven for whatever the reasons. But still, this is chus. In a person, it's one thing to do the bare minimum. But Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, a ben olam haba is a ben olam haba is someone who is someich ke'ula l'tfila. Now, I didn't explain why did Rabbi Yochanan say this. Why did he say kala someich ke'ula l'tfila is ben olam haba? I mean, I could understand if you told me somebody is honest in business, he's a ben olam haba. I can understand if you tell me someone is koveh itim l'torah every single day that he's a ben olam haba. You tell me that someone, you know, raises a family with Jewish values, I can understand why that person has been olam haba. I'm actually stealing from the Gemara Bama Madlikin, right? The first thing they ask a person is, on a day of judgment, is nasasa v'nasata b'emuna. Kavata v'itim v'torah. Asakta v'peri harivya. There's more, but so I can understand why those things would make a person ben olam haba. Smicha skula tfila. I mean, okay, it's nice, but why is that so significant? Why is someone who's so mekula tfila is a ben olam haba? So the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah in the back of our Gemara suggests that the idea of davening right after Gal Yisrael is an expression of emunah. is you begin by stating that God redeemed us in the past, which means that when you're mispalo to God, it's because you really believe that he's capable of redeeming us. You may choose not to, but nonetheless, Smichas Kol Tefila is not this technical thing that I know of an introduction. The idea of putting the two together is the quintessential expression of emuna and bitachon. So that's why it's not the technical aspect of putting it together. It's the recognition that God is in fact the potential past redeemer and potential redeemer and future redeemer of the Jewish people, and expressing that emuna, that type of emuna is something that makes someone into a ben olam haba. If that is the case, then it makes perfect sense why it's a wonderful thing to be somebody called tefillah, even if you're not obligated to daven. But if you choose to daven and you choose then to be somebody called tefillah, you are expressing this kind of faith in the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay, fine. So anyway, so this is the position of Tosos then. Tosos does not say Giru Einenu is a substitute for Shemon Esrei, but rather it's a buffer. It's a delaying mechanism. But once the Chachamim instituted it, it's like Geula Arech Tadanya. Then why say the Kaddish, which is an interruption? The answer is to demonstrate that Tfilas Arvis is Rishos. The problem, of course, with Tosus is that may, in fact, undermine the whole point of Smicha School of Tfilas. You're doing away with it to show Tfilas Arvis is Rishos. So some of the Rishonim will try to explain why even the Kaddish has a theme of Geula. Certainly, if you say the Nusach Sfarad Kaddish, the Yatzmach Pur Kanei V'Karev Mishichei certainly is an expression of prayer for Geula. Okay, but that's the position of Tosfos, that fundamentally, even if Tfilas Arvis is Rishos, we say Yireinenu as a delay mechanism, but it's still considered part of Geula, and therefore there's still an Inyan Smichas Geula Tfilah. Whereas other Rishonim, the Tamei Debrei Yona and the Ritva, and I think the Rashva, all say that, no, that Yireinenu was a substitute for Shemon Esrei, right? So that you shouldn't leave one person, I'm sorry, that it was dangerous for anybody, even as a group, to stay in these desolate places in the field. They weren't necessarily davening in Beis Knesset, or the Beis Knesset might have been in the field. So it was a dangerous place for anybody to be out at a late hour, so they would shorten the davening, and people would daven at home, and therefore, obviously, you don't have Smicha School of Tefillah, but they may have recited the Kaddish as a marker, sort of ending Tefillah. Okay. Fine. So it is, as I said at the beginning, it's the practice of many to recite Yireinenu. There were already a boatload of Rishonim who didn't say it. The Ramban, as I mentioned, didn't say it, and I think the Ritva or Rashba quotes Tosfos, quoting Rashban, but we don't have it in our Tosfos. Rashban didn't say it either. But Rabbeinu Yonah himself is cited actually having defended the practice. Kind of interesting. Okay, the Rashba, by the way, had two Rabbeim. His primary Rebbe, I believe, was Rabbeinu Yonah, whereas his secondary Rebbe was the Ramban. But he cites both here. One said it and one didn't say it. Okay, fine. Are there any questions about Smicha School of Tefillah at night?
Can I ask a slightly unrelated question?
Okay.
When you talked before about one strange Maariv a week, Atachan and Tano obviously makes perfect sense to me, but what is the origin of Uval Etzion in the Maariv of Motei Shabbat?
Before we get there, I needed to explain. I wanted to explain Magen Avos. Why did they add that in? So I think I was taught a long time ago it was for a similar reason as Yireinenu, which is people Motei Shabbos. So why not say it Motei Shabbos? So the answer is because nobody's coming late to davening Motzei Shabbos, because it's not like they were working in the fields and they arrived late, because you're not working on Shabbos. But Erev Shabbos, between all the hachanos and you get off from work very late, perhaps you show up to shul late. So they instituted this quasi-chazar sashatz as a delaying mechanism. Why do we say Kedusha de Sidra at night, Motzei Shabbos, and we also say it, I believe, Leil Tisha B'Av, even when it's not Motzei Shabbos? And I think that we also say it, we say it after Megillah reading on Megillah night. I have absolutely no idea. It's a good question. I should probably find an answer for that. So,
thank you.
But I don't know. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. So now let's move on to continuing on in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Avina. Kol ha'omer tehila l'david b'chol yom, shalosh pa'amim, muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. So the question is, what is this statement doing here? We're studying Kriya Shema. We're studying Birchus Kriya Shema. We're studying Zman Kriya Shema. Why does the Gemara present Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Avina? And I didn't do a Bar Ilan search, but I'd be surprised if this sequence appears anywhere else in Shas, unless it's quoting a statement from our Gemara. So why is this here? So I think the answer is because he says that anyone who does X in Tefillah is a Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. And that is connected to Rabbi Yochanan's statement, Ezehu Ben Olam Haba, that's the only connection I can see why they actually bring this statement here. When do we say Ashrei three times a day? So we say it once in Psukei D'Zimra, we say it once in Kedusha D'Sidra, and once before Mincha. And on Shabbos, we say Kedusha, we move Kedusha D'Sidra, Marshall, what you're asking about, not the Marav one, but Kedusha, I should explain, I apologize. There are three Kedushas that we recite in Davening. One is known as Kedusha of Yotzer Or, which is recited in Kriyashma, right? We say Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kvar Hashem Imkomo. There's a big machlokes haga'onim, whether or not you need a minyan for saying that. I know that our practice today is broadly accepted, that even when you're davening alone, you recite the entire, it's just part of the bracha. But there are positions in the ga'onim that when you recite, if you are alone davening, you skip over those parts because it's Kedusha, and Kedusha requires V'niktashi b'sof b'nei Yisrael, you need a minyan. Then there's the Kedusha of Tefillah, which we recite in the Chazar Sashatz, right after Mechaya HaMesim, the Kadesh or Nachishach or Keser, whatever it is. And that is clearly requires a minyan, there's no doubt about that. And the third Kedusha is known as Kedusha B'Sidra, which is the Kedusha of Alatziyam, where we recite Kadosh, Baruch, and Yimloch, each with their Aramaic translation, with the Targum. So that's when Marshall was asking, I described it as Kedusha B'Sidra. We say Kedusha B'Sidra Motzei Shabbos, and after the Megillah, and after Kinos on Tisha B'Av night. Which I don't know what the origin of that is. But we say normally on a regular weekday, Ashrei Psukei D'Zimra, Ashrei with Kedusha D'Sidra before Avodah Tzion, and then Ashrei before Mincha. And on Shabbos, we have Ashrei Psukei D'Zimra, Ashrei before Musaf, and we don't do Kedusha D'Sidra. Then we say Kedusha D'Sidra on Shabbos. I don't know why. We say Kedusha D'Sidra for Mincha. And that's how we get our three Ashreis. So the Gemara says, my time, what is so great about the person who says Tehillah L'David three times a day? And you'll note, by the way, I'm calling it Ashrei, but that's not what the Gemara calls it. And that in itself is a kind of interesting phenomenon, which is, why do we recite the Pasuk of Ashrei? You know where, anyone know where the Pasuk of Ashrei is from?
Right before.
Now,
Tehillim.
What, Marshall?
Tehillim.
It's from way earlier in Tehillim. Ashrei Am Shekachalo, the second part, is the end of the previous Mizmar. Mizmar Kof Mem Dalet, and Tehillah L'David becomes Kof Mem Hei. Right. But where do we get Ashrei Yoshev Meisecha from? So I think one of the Rishonim says that we recite that first because the Gemara later will give us one of the sources to being Yoshev before your Mispalo. First you sit down. The Hasidim Harishonim, how you show him Sha'achas. They would wait an hour. They would prepare themselves for Tefillah. So it's Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha. First you become Yoshvei Beisecha, which they take it literally, meaning to sit down, or I would say to develop Yishuv Hadas, to settle and clear your mind. And then, Jihaluchasela, then they daven. The Gemara uses that pasuk. And therefore, we stick it before, I don't want to say before Ashrei, before Tehillah L'David, because that's usually... And when we say that before Tefillah, so we want to put in the Pasuk of Ashrei. So forgive me for calling it Ashrei, but the Gemara calls it here Tehillah L'David. So the Gemara says, what's so great about it? Ilema mishum da'asya ba'aleph beis, that you give praise to God with each letter, a Pasuk with each letter of the aleph beis, minus one, of course. So that's the case. Neima, Ashrei t'mi meiderach. Da'asya b'tmanya apin. So you should instead say, Mizmar kof yom pes. And it has an acrostic eight times, eight alephs, eight bases, eight gimels, eight dalets. Now, I could explain why we don't say that, because we'd have a rebellion if we tried insisting on saying Ashrei Tmimei Derech. I know that that Rabbi Luchstein, not these days, but you know, there's the minhag get after the Sunday 8:30 minyan, maybe every day of the week. I don't know that they recite part of Tehillim. Does that still happen?
Yeah.
Yes, Lenny, it does. So
hello. Hello, going to Yantin.
Yeah,
going
they to Rosh Hashanah. They do that during the Atzeres Yemei Tshuva.
Ah, okay. So, but not everybody stays. So imagine if every time before Mincha, it wasn't saying Ashrei, it was saying Ashrei Tmimei Derech, which is very, very, very long. I would note, by the way, the Gemara's question to me is a very odd question as well, because if the idea of using the Aleph Beis is, as some Rishonim say, Rashi doesn't, but to praise God with each of the letters, so Ashrei Tmimei Derech is actually not a praise of God. It's an ode to Talmud Torah and Kiyum HaMitzvahs, but it's really not, it's about expression of one's love of studying Torah and fulfilling God's mitzvahs. It's not about praising God. Tefillah LeDavid opens the last part of Tehillim, really is the one section that is just unmitigated praise of God, a call to praise and the actual praises of God. So it's not actually hard to see why you would choose Tefillah LeDavid over Ashrei Tmimei Derech. But okay, but if you want, if Aleph Beis is your thing, the Gemara says, you can get 8 for the price of 1, the Mizmar Kuf Yotes. Ella, the Gemara says, no, Mishum de Ismei Poseach Es Yodecha. In other words, what we speak about, and this is true to a great extent in a lot of the Mizmorim, we recite the main, I know we have a long Psukei de Zimra, but the core Psukei de Zimra are the last 6 Psalms of Sefer Tehillim, from Tila Adab, from Ashrei, until Kol HaNeshama Tahalleluyah, Hallelujah. That's really Psukei de Zimra. Everything else is kind of, you know, icing on the cake, accretions that are added on later. But this is what we call Hilula de Choyoma, the Hallel of every day. So it's actually, if you stop to read it, it is magnificent in its praise of God. And one of the central themes is that God takes care of his creatures. Poseach es yadecha maspia l'chochai ratzon. So the Gemara says, if that's what's so wonderful about Ashrei, so neima halal hagadol, d'chsid beinosein lecha l'chol basar, you could say Mizmar Kuf Lamed Vav, which we do say on Shabbos. It's the Mizmar of Kilal Am Chasto, the 26th Pesachim. And there it says, nosein lecha l'chol basar. So the Gemara says, elam ishum des beitarti. It's both. It both captures praising God with the Aleph Beis, and it really has this idea, Poseach es yadecha, umaspia l'chochai ratzon. Okay, now, once the Gemara is talking about Ashrei, you gotta just keep, these are not thematically, I mean, they're only roughly connected, but Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mipnei ma lo nemar nun ba'ashrei, why is there no nun verse in Ashrei? You notice it goes, malchuscha malchus kol almim, umem shaltacha b'chol davadar, and then, somech Hashem l'chol hanoflim. And the nun disappeared. Why is there no nun in Ashrei? So this is kind of interesting. There have been a number of attempts in Jewish history to add a nun to Ashrei. I believe if you look in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Bible, the original Greek translation, although the part on Tehillim is a little bit later, it's not from the 3rd century, it's probably somewhat later, still BCE, they're all BCE. So the Targum, Greek translation, the Septuagint on Tehillim, has a pasuk with nun. As scholars generally assume that this is secondary. This was in a later edition to try to fill it in, to try to fix things. Okay, fine. So anyway, but the Gemara, Chazal clearly did not have a nun in their Ashrei. We don't either in the Masoretic text. So Rabbi Yochanan wants to know, why is there no nun in Ashrei? So the Gemara answers, Mipnei sheyeshba mapalton shel sonei Yisrael. Because the downfall of the Jewish people is the pasuk that begins with a nun. The Gemara uses the term Sone Yisrael, the enemies of the Jews, euphemistically. Dechsiv nafla lo sosif kum visulas Yisrael. So that would be the nun of Ashrei, and that doesn't really sound so good. But then the Gemara says, but b'marava mitartse lahachi nafla v'lo sosif lin pol od kum visulas Yisrael. It reminds me of a very famous line of Jewish humor. The pasuk in Mishlei says, "Yehalel chazar velofiha nachri ve'al svasecha." Let a stranger praise you, not your own mouth. Yehalel chazar velofiha nachri. Let again a stranger praise you, ve'al svasecha, and not your own lips. But the way that Jewish humor has rendered this pasuk, which is "Yehalel chazar," let a stranger praise you. Hello, but if no one else steps up, then picha, let your own mouth do it. So that's the very same way they read this pasuk which is not the pasuk from the end of Amos, Amos or Yoel, I think. Where's the pasuk from? Amos. Nafla, the pasuk says, Nafla, she fell, lo sosif kum, will never rise again, Besulas Yisrael is the subject. Meaning, Besulas Yisrael, the Jewish people have fallen and will never rise again. So in Eretz Yisrael, they used to the pasuk, no. Nafla, she has fallen, lo sosif, but she won't continue to fall. Kum, Besulas Yisrael, get up. So anyway, but it's because the nun, the obvious nun, would be a symbol of Nefila, is why they didn't want to, why David HaMelech did not have a nun in Ashrei. But the Gemara closes, Abba Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Afilu Hachi, Chazar David, Usmacha, Beruach HaKodesh. David nonetheless got the theme in very close to the pasuk where the nun belonged, which is the next pasuk, Shenemar, Someh Hashem, L'chol HaNoflim. So in a sense, the Gemara is suggesting that it's a remez, the silent nun, which represented Nefila Shosona Yisrael, God comes along in the next pasuk, is Someh Hashem, L'chol HaNoflim. Okay. All right. Any questions about this? And if not, we'll stop here. We will pick up, God willing, next Sunday with the next statement, which is totally unrelated to our Gemara whatsoever. But it's here because it's Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Avina, who was quoted in the previous paragraph. And now sometimes the Gemara quotes things based upon the rarity of the tradent, of the author of the statement. So we're going to get one more of those before we start to return a little bit, very ever so briefly, for something about Kriya Shema. And then we're going to go on to lots and lots of Agada. Okay. Any last questions?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Everybody stay safe, stay healthy, and see you, God willing, next week.
God willing.